What's up, Pharmacy Nation? I'm Pharmacy Joe. Thank you for being a listener of the Elective Rotation, a critical care and hospital pharmacy podcast. This is episode 489. In this episode, I'll discuss pharmacy-related recommendations from the Surviving Sepsis COVID-19 Critical Care Guidelines. I have all the evidence supporting today's show linked up in the show notes at pharmacyjoe.com/episode489. The Surviving Sepsis campaign has published guidelines on the management of critically ill adults with COVID-19. These guidelines were last updated on March 20th of 2020. Information and recommendations are changing rapidly in this area, and the authors state they will be updating the guidelines when new evidence becomes available. Recommendations are not currently based on direct evidence with COVID-19 patients. These guidelines make no mention of the small case control study from France about using hydroxychloroquine with azithromycin at the time of this recording. The guidelines make no recommendations on specific therapeutic treatments for COVID-19. All recommendations are regarding supportive care. The recommendations are in five broad categories of fluids, vasopressors, steroids, neuromuscular blockers, and some other miscellaneous interventions. As far as fluids go, the authors suggest a conservative fluid strategy based on data from critically ill patients with ARDS, favoring restricted fluid volumes during initial resuscitation. Balanced crystalloids are the recommended resuscitation fluid if the COVID-19 patient is in shock. For most hospitals, this will mean choosing lactated ringer solution as the resuscitation fluid. This is recommended over normal saline by the guideline authors because less kidney injury is expected with the lower chloride levels in lactated ringers. As far as vasopressors go, the preferred initial vasopressor is norepinephrine. However, vasopressin or epinephrine may be used first if norepinephrine is not available. If norepinephrine is available, then the authors do have a recommendation against the use of dopamine. Now, if norepinephrine does not seem to be enough, the recommendation is to add vasopressin rather than to titrate the norepinephrine dose higher. Specific dose recommendations, however, are not provided by the guideline authors. If the patient has shock with evidence of cardiac dysfunction and persistent hypoperfusion despite fluid resuscitation and norepinephrine use, then the authors suggest adding dobutamine, again with no dose recommendation, and this is only based on physiologic rationale. Looking at steroids, recommendations in general are against using steroids in COVID-19 patients with respiratory failure unless they have another condition that warrants them, such as ARDS or refractory shock. For neuromuscular blockers, if a patient with COVID-19 develops ARDS, then the guideline authors recommend trying intermittent neuromuscular blocking agents if needed to facilitate proper ventilation. Only if these intermittent boluses fail to produce adequate results do the authors recommend a continuous infusion of neuromuscular blockers for up to 48 hours. For the other recommendations, the first has to do with antibiotics. They do suggest using empiric antibiotics over not. However, this is a weak recommendation based on low quality of evidence, and if empiric antibiotics are used, this would be to treat or prevent superinfection with bacteria. If they're used, it's only in patients that have respiratory failure and are on a vent, and the authors recommend to assess for de-escalation daily and to continually reevaluate the duration of this antibiotic therapy. Few other recommendations include if the patient develops a fever, the authors do suggest using acetaminophen for temperature control over no treatment. Again, this is a weak recommendation with low quality of evidence. They do suggest against using IVIG in critically ill adults with COVID-19 based on a lack of evidence. And they suggest against the routine use of lopinavir ritonavir. This is based on a reported but yet to be published trial from China suggesting a lack of efficacy. All other therapeutic agents did not have enough data for the authors to make a recommendation for or against their use. When evaluating the care of a COVID-19 patient against these guideline recommendations, it's important to remember that evidence is rapidly emerging and these recommendations are not based on direct evidence in patients with COVID-19. So other treatment strategies may be perfectly acceptable depending on patient-specific factors. To those APPE students whose hospital rotation has been disrupted by recent events, one way I'd like to help is by providing free access to 8 essential training videos on topics that I discuss with students on my rotation. Get free 14-day access by going to pharmacyjoe.com/virtual. Thank you so much for listening. I'll see you in the next episode of the Elective Rotation.